Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. Kind of a cozy, gloomy day out there. I'm telling you what, man. Working at this company, you have to have a full wardrobe. Like, you have to have, you have to be ready for 50 degrees or 102.
Mm-hmm. That's just inside.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
Our office is 102.
Yeah, it's hot.
The rest of the building is 65.
Ron, not as cold as the restaurant today,
as
though.
Nice a hair as any man I know.
Thank
it's fine.
You.
It's
however.
Yeah.
Right now, it couldn't look more like a toupee. Am I wrong?
Is it?
Do I have
headphone hair? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's parted kind of differently. I think I can say that because he doesn't, right? But yeah.
Allegedly.
Right? Yeah.
None of us right.
I might.
Yeah.
I mean, what's get under that hat on a daily basis?
Who wants to touch it?
I'll do it.
Here we go.
All right. I feel uncomfortable with this.
No, his hair, Kevin.
Oh.
How was that?
That's pretty good. It's real.
I honestly hated it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I hated everything
about that.
It felt wrong watching.
You know what I did there? Remember the kid when you're a grade school kid and you do that and you're like, what's this?
It's a
brain sucker starving?
Yeah.
I don't know that
Oh, you
one.
Never heard that one?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd go up to your friends and you'd do that thing on the top of their head and then you're like, what is that?
It's a brain eater. What's it doing? It's starving to death.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a different generation.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had that one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We used to just crack eggs on each other's
Oh, yeah.
Sides.
We did that one.
Really?
I love that one.
Yeah. You know that one?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh, it feels really good.
Oh, yeah. I know
Kevin's
what you're talking about.
Crack an egg on her head.
Yeah. Oh, this is fun.
This is.
Oh, man. He really cracked it.
God.
Cracked an egg and
Lord.
Gave her CTE.
Lord in heaven.
You could hear that.
Yes.
The microphone picked
that's,
up.
That's part of the point. That's not with the egg cracking.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
I was on the phone. Why did Kevin punch Amy in the head?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what we did all day,
except we did it way harder than that.
Funny, cute little things. I guess the cute never made it to Kevin's school.
Right.
And one of them was cracking an egg where you go dink, 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 and then you'd let the egg roll down their face, which is just your fingers.
Okay.
And Kevin's was evidently like...
No, you just hold like the egg on there and you go...
Yeah!
Ow!
No, don't do that!
You heard it on 50,000 Red Hot
Right,
Rocks.
Because that's what you... So you keep the opening there, and when you hit it, it makes the noise.
Oh, man.
It sounds like an egg going...
And the fist goes right into the person's face. It's perfect.
No. Top of the head.
When they...
makes it so much better.
When they invented you, they had to be wasted.
I didn't invent this, but I did perfect it.
I really hope Fox, too, was like, let's cut it.
Me, too.
I would love it if that made TV. People are like, wow.
Me, too. That... And him, like, doing the little, hey, you want a Fresca on top of Ranji's head.
Earlier, Ranji and I are drinking mint juleps.
We're drinking
here.
Mint juleps. Kevin's touching everybody's head.
It's a Friday.
Here we go.
Sure is.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
They had that story at the top of the hour about a school that they let out because the kids were feeling ill, but they couldn't track it to anything, so maybe they got overheated. I was just thinking, had that been me, like, in fifth or sixth grade, and someone said, like, I'm not feeling good, then someone else said, I'm not feeling good,
Jumping right on.
I'm taking the biggest soccer flop in the history of fake illnesses.
I think I'm going to throw up.
Oh, I'd make myself throw up and poop at the same time. Just anything to get out of school. Did you guys fake it a lot at home? The whole, like, I don't feel good?
I tried, but my mom pretty quickly was like,
I think
like,
my mom just gave up.
Yeah.
Or maybe wanted my company or something. I swear I did it once a week.
Yeah. I know I did it once or twice, but not very much.
Oh, all the time.
See, the problem was if I did that, I had to miss whatever practice or game was that night.
Right.
See,
right.
Here's the genius, though. I do the same thing. Like, you can stay home, but you can't play with your friends. When they get home at 3:30, you're going to be around. I'm like, oh, I understand. And then I perfected the rally.
Because
I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then by 11, I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling too bad. You know what? And my mom's like, I know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. That's at incredible. 3:15, you're going to be fine.
I would just start in with this around noon. I'm like, Mom, can I go out and play with my friends? And somehow that always worked.
Yeah.
I always broke her down. By 3, she's like, I don't care if you go out and play in the street. Like, just,
just get out of here.
Get the hell out of here.
What's the amount of misses that you start to become delinquent, that they consider you delinquent?
I don't know.
It's probably different back then.
It's a sliding scale in Roxanne, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few people in Roxanne are throwing the curve off, I think.
He hasn't been here since November.
The best ones,
he'll
too.
He'll be fine.
The best ones, too, in high school, where you'd have the people that would somehow coincidentally seem to always get sick on the day of a really big test.
Mm.
something, you know, a big science test or whatever, and they'd be like, that guy's now had two times he's gotten sick on the day of a test.
Which I never got, because it's like, you still have to take
it. Right, but you get more time.
If you're faking sick to get out of a test, time is not what you need.
Well, normally it's the procrastinators. They don't study, they don't do it, and then they're like, ah, I'm sick, and then they do it 2 days later when they've been at home doing nothing else but, like, trying to catch up.
Endless stream of authority.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Somebody's got to do it.
Anybody ever literally had dog eat homework? Their dog eat?
No.
Anything? An assignment?
No. Rach, didn't you? Am I making that up?
Yeah. I don't think so.
That's one of my Rachel stories.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe it. Rachel's dog totally ate the homework.
I swear to God, if she were here, I'd be like, that happened to Rachel.
Imagine going to school with that. I swear to God, my dog ate it.
Yeah.
I swear that happened.
I was doing a big in law school. And it was like literally a week's worth of work and then an all-nighter. And my girlfriend at the time was typing it up. And she was really good at that kind of stuff. She was like an administrator. She had a real job and stuff. And she deleted it. Oh, and couldn't figure. I mean, this is probably, 1988 or something. So it was very different technology. But we had to go into the professors, like a big moot court project, and say... And she, like, wrote a letter and signed it and everything, and that was pretty bad.
Dude, I had that experience in college. Big paper due. It was, like, a French class, and I'm, like, it's like a 12-page paper or something stupid. I'm, like, page 9, and the computer crashes, and nothing backed up, nothing saved. The file that
most,
I had.
Most people have had that experience.
And I had to spend the next 8 hours up all night just doing it again.
Yeah.
Which sucked.
I remember the night before our first. So in law school, you go to school all year and you take no tests, no quizzes, no nothing. And then at the very end of the whole year, you take one test and that's your grade.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep.
And so especially first year, because you've never taken an exam, outlines are a big deal. Typically, they're about 20 pages, cover a whole year. And there are legendary outlines, like, oh, it's the Mark Scores outline. And you'll buy them back then, $20. Now it's probably a couple hundred or something. And the night before the very first exam, I was at my buddy Bill's house, and we were putting into a class, and it's like midnight, and like quizzing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget this, and I've used this analogy for things, like with Phoebe, if she's studying. There comes a point when you've done all you can do.
Yep.
And everything that you do after that is just confusing you.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
I hit mine when I was about 38, and I just stopped trying. But we're like, we just need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's at some point you're just not going to cram any more in there, and you're just wasting your time.
I get to a point where I get anxiety if I've studied, and I feel like if I... I have to do it. I can't absorb anything else, even if I don't know it all. I get to this point where I'm finished and I just need to take the test. It has to happen right now.
I get what you mean, yeah.
And there's
you
know a certain relief in that.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, let's just do it.
Yes,
yeah. Can we
let's
just take
go.
It right now at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yep. Like, I feel like I'm not really prepared, but I need to go right now and do this.
Yeah.
Are you guys better? Like, I'm a really good test taker and I'm a really terrible homework guy. And when I became a lawyer, part of the reason I did was that I thought it was test taking. I thought it was events because they misled me. But like the moot court competitions and the negotiation competitions and all that kind of stuff, I was great at that. And I thought that was what being a lawyer was. You know, you go to court every day. And then I found out, no, it's pretty much just homework every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like they give you, here's the Mark Scores file, and you look at it every single day for 2 years and update it and XYZ. Oh, I'm the worst at that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been good at that either.
The worst.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm here.
I guess that's like kind of homeschooling. I love the homework. I love the process of it. The studying, taking copious notes, writing outlines, regurgitating to see how well can you explain it, at what different levels of comprehension can you explain it. So I love that part. I can take tests if they are... like either short answer or essay questions, but you start throwing multiple choice, I doubt everything.
I'm the opposite.
I doubt everything.
I love multiple choice.
Me too.
I've always felt like if there are four choices, it's just a classic, like, I know it's not this one. I know it's not pumpkins. And then, like, I'm pretty sure it's not zucchini squash. So it's either, you know, this or this. And I always felt pretty good about
that. Yeah, I was never good at math stuff. But when But when I would take those like the standardized tests, I would score well because I could get close enough. Like doing it, I could never get the exact right answer, but I could get close enough to where I'm like, okay, this one's probably the right one, and it worked.
Math multiple choices.
But in
nice.
Math, you kind of have to, like, when you're doing it for real, you kind of have to be right. Like, it adds up to something or it comes to something, and you have to get that. But on the when you have the choices, you're like, that one's close.
Andrew, did you have good grades, or do you just, like, rely on your
charms?
Marching band abs?
Yeah, charms. mostly the charms. I was bad with homework. Like, I just didn't do it a lot of the time. And I also,
look at our shock.
Yeah, and I also wasn't very smart. So when you combine like,
oh, you're smart.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
and not being very.
That's more of an application thing than a smart thing.
But much like Kevin, I wasn't a bad standardized test taker. So I scored pretty well on my ACT.
You ever wonder what you're really good at, but you never tried?
Like the luge
topic,
right?
Or
how do you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know how good I am at sports. I know how good I am at music. I know how good I am at this kind of stuff, comedy and whatnot. But there's a gazillion things I never tried. There could be something out there where it's like, oh, my God, we found a savant.
I know what I'm terrible at.
Math?
Yeah.
Is anyone in this room good at math?
No. But like,
I bet Amy is.
Basic numbers? Like normal stuff, yes, but anything past algebra, one,
what do you mean,
no.
Basic numbers,
like just add, subtract, figuring out baseball stats, things like that.
Yeah,
baseball stats, ratios, things like that are fine. It's once you get like letters involved, I'm done.
Dude, let me go back to the papers thing for a second. Writing a paper, people now who are in school have no idea. This is my old man right now.
Yep.
You have no idea how good you have it. That things are saved in a cloud.
Oh, my God. And that autosave exists now.
Yes, because like, I had an incident like you guys did with a very long paper, like 15 pages.
Mm.
And I was at least 20 into it. And I had a floppy.
Yep.
And for some stupid reason, one of my friends said, hey, let's go to the library and work on our papers. And I thought, I'd never do this. Okay. So I did. Worked on it. Cranked out, I don't know how many pages. Left the floppy in the library.
Oh.
And it, I mean, I have to tell you, when you have to start something over,
dude,
so, it's like it makes you not even want to bother doing it again.
I had the biggest freak out when that happened. Like, I was throwing stuff around the apartment.
Oh, yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
I lost it.
No, I had a little sister do that, like, you know, gets on the computer. You get up, you're working for hours and hours and hours. You get up to go, get a drink or food or whatever. And your little, kid sister gets on the computer and it's gone. And it was just like this, it's just you're absolutely defeated. I'm pretty sure I cried a little. Like, I think I was in high school and I'm pretty sure I cried because I was just so defeated.
I just left school and dropped out.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 123. So, Rach, you and Andrew were riding together this morning and saw something interesting.
Well, we were going down 40 and traffic was kind of slowing to a crawl and we're like, what's going on? And there was a gentleman walking down the highway with a roller luggage behind him with a big smile on his face.
As and, what? As if he just landed at the airport and was excited to
like
begin
planes,
his adventure.
In the shoulder or on the lane?
He was in the lane.
He was in the lane.
Yes.
Yeah. On Highway 40?
Yes. It was pretty crazy.
But he was walking like into traffic, so it was safe, right? He was walking like towards the cars.
Yeah. Against it,
against traffic.
What were people doing or looking
Andrew
like?
Andrew waved at him.
I waved at him, and he did not wave back. He looked right at me, and I was like, hey.
So
he didn't.
The first person to slow down or stop had to have been like, oh my gosh,
right.
I almost hit this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on highway, you're driving 60, 70 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it had that vibe of like when someone's like broken down or whatever, and everybody just. Like, you see the car in front of you swerve, so you have to swerve and just hope there's nobody.
If you're a cop and you pull up on that, you got to be like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Do you think the guy was probably thinking, man, these sidewalks are huge?
Well, he didn't seem like particularly, I don't know, like disheveled, I guess you'd say. Like, he had a big grin on his face and he had a suitcase.
Always
he was
a sign of sanity.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, he's not all the way there.
Did it hurt your feelings a little bit when the guy didn't wave back?
So much. Like, I said something at the time. I was like, he didn't wave back at me. Like, that was the thing.
He's like,
that
I got a thing going here.
Yeah, it was like, that was what bothered me the most. So I was like, hey.
And this was going on while I was having like terrible car trouble too, which thank God Andrew was with me because my car started like shaking and then the check engine light started flashing.
Oh.
And I'm just going, I don't know what to do. And Andrew's like, stay calm. And he starts Googling the situation and it did help me stay calm and eventually it calmed down.
If anyone knows about car trouble.
Well, exactly. Like I was like, okay.
You're like, it's the spiders.
Well, what you have here, you have a spider and the fuel pump. This will happen. This will happen. Happens to everybody.
But what no, happens like when that, you get the mouse in the radiator?
Let me ask you this. What's the biggest mouse you got in this car?
But this exact thing had happened to my car in the past, and then there were like three different possible things, and like two of them had happened to me. I was like, all right.
He goes, whatever you do, don't slam on the gas right now. I'm like, I will not do that for any reason.
Well, it's having a little trouble accelerating, so I was like, don't slam on the gas.
How proximate was that to the guy with the luggage on Highway 40?
Simultaneous.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
They happened alongside.
Maybe he cursed you.
Alongside each other.
What
yeah.
was the nearest exit? Where was this?
Oh, gosh. I want to say it was like the Market Street exit.
Yeah, it was the Market Street exit. So that one that's like
pretty
where.
Hilly there.
That's, yes, it's hilly the one, there.
It's
yes.
the one with the hill and where there's the overpass above you. Yeah. So maybe thought he was inside.
You know what's funny is that I
what
often.
Cars in this building.
I get irritated with runners who run in the road because I get it. Yeah, it's smooth pavement. Uh-huh. I get it. But it annoys me when I'm driving. But for some reason, I love this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's awesome.
He's
I don't know what his deal is, but I got to know.
He had swag. He definitely.
You know, there's no chance that luggage was full of anything normal.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was full of bees or eyeballs.
100%. Just a bunch of frogs. And
yeah, he did not have his like toiletry bag in there.
I bet it was empty.
Could be.
Could be. There's I love nothing. That he was smiling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big like, smile this is.
What was he wearing?
This is great.
Oh, good question. I feel like he was wearing like a polo and jeans.
He had like a flannel kind of thing, but like a nice flannel, like a button down kind of deal.
Was it tucked in?
I didn't look that close.
Well, Ben, there's a big difference.
My hand was in the way. I was waving.
hey.
But he didn't have like, you know, like ratty fingerless gloves
or
whatever.
I know we have to get a break, but were you waving like, you're going to die? Or were you waving like, hey, my friend?
Like the second one. The
yeah,
last.
It was definitely.
I was like, hey.
That's helpful.
He's going by like,
he didn't need any help.
134 DGS on KMOX. Can I talk about something kind of serious on a Friday, but timely in my life? So if you listen to the show, you know what's going on with my mom. Fell, broke her hip. Very classic, except for the fact that she'll be 97 in September. And tomorrow she goes to like her forever place. She's been in rehab. She'll be going to a long-term care facility. And so my last month has been literally just almost all in hospitals and two different rehabs and you know, nursing home and things like this. When I say I don't fear death, I don't mean that in like a samurai way. I don't fear death. I mean like I now fear getting old. I now fear old age. And I'm close enough. I'm not there. I feel fine, but like, you know, it's 20, 25 years mm-hmm. in my future and I fear that. I'm just banking on medical technology catching up with things like Alzheimer's and dementia and such. And I'm banking on better social services and better care for the elderly. But man, the way we do it now, and I don't have any specific complaints about the places I've been other than the place where she broke her hip. But other than that, she's had good treatment. But there's just a whole lot of just warehousing. Mm-hmm. You know, you go over there and just sit mm-hmm. for 12 hours and then it's no life.
Mm-mm.
And I don't have an answer, but I know what I don't want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, what could we do? How could we improve it? I feel like other nations do it better than we do.
Well,
like
I think they,
Japan,
they do
right?
it better in covering costs. I'm not sure that it's any different in the end.
Well, I think it definitely depends on the country and the culture. So one of my closest friends is from Peru. He said, and again, Peru has its own issues, right? We're looking at countries, we're looking at governments, politics. I get that. But when it comes to this specific topic, because multiple generations so often live in the same home and it's just understood that you take care of aging parents, he said that literally nursing homes don't exist. They're just not a thing in Peru. I'm sure there's some kind of hospital building, but there's no nursing home system. And that's just like one element of that culture because multiple generations will stay together and you take care of your parents, yeah, if at all possible.
Well, I think a lot of that probably has to do with the fact, and this is a thing that we talked about recently, about how we are so committed to working all the time, and we never take days off. We have the fewest amount of paid vacation days of most of the developed world, whereas in some of these other countries, that's not what it is. And if you, you can't not have facilities. In some cases, if you're a working person, you can't take care of somebody and work. Mm-hmm. So we just don't, we don't have a society set up for that.
Right.
We don't have a society set up to, well, dad's here with me and I will take care of him. But if you have to go to work, you can't do that.
Well, right,
someone has to be looking out for them.
And just like, I mean, who my friend from Peru would say that, like, if you get married, sometimes you stay in your parents' house, right? Mm-hmm. That's so culturally different. I'm not saying we should do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying culturally, because a lot of times they do, that's how there's someone, yeah, home, if you have multiple generations.
I mean, I don't know. We may have hit the pinnacle in the 50s through the 70s where you lived your life, and we've talked about this before, and you ate pie with lard in it, and you smoked, and you died of a heart attack in 74. Like, that may have been maybe the best life, because you lived your life and then you died, usually in a fairly normal way. I think that we, and this is a crazy thing to say, but I think that we artificially extend life too far, because you're not heading somewhere better into your deep old age. You're not heading, and I'm not saying that you can't be 80, 85 and not go water skiing, but you're the rarity. You're not the norm. You get to 80, 85, and typically you're...
What I do think that we're doing that I think is good is we're trying... I think we're getting better at extending life in the time that you can use it, right? Like, we always joke about,
like... me, heading into my 60s, it's very, very different now.
Even than
it was for my dad.
60 when you were a kid was like 90 is now, mm-hmm, and I think that we are doing a better job.
And you would be retired.
Yes.
Yeah, we are doing a better job of, like... You can be in your 60s and your 70s and stuff, and you can still be very active, doing active things. I think we're getting better at keeping ourselves strong through that time, where what would previously have been, in older generations, would have been like the end of life. It's still very much, I think, a part of life in a way that you can meaningfully use.
I know this is a very extreme example, but I'm thinking of him because we were just talking about him during the break. Jerry Seinfeld has been making the rounds and interviews, and he's got that movie coming out, and that dude is almost 70.
Yeah.
And he looks yes, he looks like he's 35 or 40. Yeah. And I think about Rob Lowe, who looks great, and Robert Downey Jr. Tom Cruise.
But I think,
right,
that's part of, you know, nothing's monocausal, right? We have all these different goods and bads that get us to where we are. So, yes, Jerry Seinfeld, all those guys, they look great.
Also, he's a billionaire.
You know? That's part of it. They eat the best food. Yeah.
Eat well. And so partly we're extending life, which is great that you can do more things. But let's say you're not in the best health when you're 40. You may not be in great health when you're 65 or 70 or 75. So a lot of our foods, a lot of our lifestyles really are detrimental to our health, mm-hmm, but then we're able to stay alive. So you see the Jerry Seinfelds. Then you also see people who think, man, this guy's been unhealthy for 25 mm-hmm years now in this old age era.
Well, I mean, what's the difference if you're in a terrible position and your family has millions versus normal families?
Oh,
you've got a private nurse that probably rotating nurses that live in the home with them, right?
Like, and that is expensive.
So the part, I think Ron's nailed it. I mean, it's obviously so much, we all are so much focused on work, but our system is not set up for the average person. Our system is set up to generate more for wealthy people.
Hmm.
That's how it's set up and how it's being run. Right. I mean, it's a loose correlation, but it's a similar thing. I was ranting to Ronge earlier about the NFL laying people off.
$20 billion industry.
Their revenues have done nothing but go up for 50 years. Their commissioner makes $64 million a year. They don't have money problems. They're making money left and right, and it's growing. It's not getting smaller. They're going to be a $30 billion a year business in 15 years.
Who are they laying off?
Like, just what? People at the NFL Network. Some of them are on air. Some of them are off air. But the point is that, like, if you're calling it layoffs, if you're actually reducing your workplace when you don't need to, that's kind of how we're set up. And how many places is that happening to people in the automotive industry? How many places is that happening in any other industry where the whole point is to help shareholders and CEOs and those people? That's like the whole system is set up for that. It's not for normies to have a really stable setup for when their parents get to be 90 years old. And in other places, and again, this is you. I'm not trying to argue good or bad. I'm just talking about what it is. In these other places, the you know, Norway, Sweden, the places in Japan where the older age is managed differently or where healthcare is managed differently, their priority is the opposite of that. Their priority is to raise up the normal standard as opposed to play into the high standard.
They don't have to work to make sure they have the money to take care of mom or dad.
Yeah.
Because that's built into the system.
Right.
They help with medical costs way better than we do. We've had my entire life, we've had a horrible healthcare system. The way it's,
I know,
we have great doctors and great technology.
I know,
but
unfortunately,
to
now
it,
from personal experience, that when you go into a long term care facility, you go in with as full pay. You know, like 10, 11, 12, 15 grand a month, whatever level of facility you go to. And they take all those funds, which I guess is fair. They're giving you a product. They're giving you a service that we're all complaining about isn't good enough. And so to get a really good one, you have to pay the money. But then when that money is gone, Medicare takes over. But you get downgraded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, it's not like they leave you in your own filth or something like that, but right, there's no more private room. There's no more accoutrement. There's no more beauty shop. There's no more, you know, this. There's no more that. Do you feel like, okay, well, that's fair? Or do you think that Medicare, like, there should be no change when you run out of your money?
I mean, I feel personally like there should be no change. That's, and I know a lot of people will disagree with that, but I just, we should take care of people. We have the resources to do it. We could if we wanted to, but we don't have the appetite to do it.
Well, our priorities are just different.
Yep.
We have decided, not just economically, but I mean, so how many nations in the world are wealthier than the United States?
Are there any? Maybe
I
one?
Guess none.
I don't think any.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's got a higher GDP, right? I don't think anybody has more to spend. So it's about priorities. Who do we vote for? What do they prioritize? I mean, if we want it to be different, we could make it that way. Although you could argue maybe not, because there's so much of politics is about money. Well, who has the money? The people that want it to stay the way that
it is. This is why I get so mad at both parties, because there are things about the Republican Party that I really believe in and really gravitate towards, but now they're just bat crap crazy. And then on the left, there are things like what we're talking about, like, hey, let's have a better social, what's it called?
Safety net.
I started to say network. And yet they're bat crap crazy.
Well, look at the, I mean, like, you use the Obamacare plan as an example. It was the devil for how long?
Oh.
Obamacare's the devil.
Still is.
And there's a reason nobody's changed it. It's because the people that have it don't want it to change.
Well, they don't want to lose it.
Right. That's my point. So there's, you know, all the promises that have been made, we're going to get rid of Obamacare. They haven't done it. And they haven't done it because the people that vote for them don't want them to do it.
And they
Why?
Don't have, they
because
don't have
it
a,
actually
they don't
have helped a, people.
There's no better alternative that they're willing to
I think,
suggest.
That's
right.
I think that's the bigger thing is once you have something like that, you can't just pull the rug out from under millions and millions of people.
No.
People know that. I mean, even the legislators who seem to be insane, no, you can't just pull the rug out. But what do you do then? We need health care reform. Obamacare wasn't great. It's what we got.
Right. Yeah. It's not great.
How to make it better. I mean, it's so big. And I don't know because like pharmaceutical companies and these medical companies, they donate to Republicans and Democrats. It's going to stay expensive.
Someone I know, we have to go to break breaks, but someone I know was talking to someone very high up in the insurance business, and they were saying 10 years at the most, it's taken over by the government. Because as profitable as you think insurance companies are, and I've always thought that they are, that recently there have been so many catastrophes and disasters and everything's so expensive that they are running, their margins are too close.
Mm.
And they think that they're in the business. They think that the private insurance companies will go belly up.
Wow.
And the government's going to have to step in and take that over as well.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 154. So tomorrow, May 4th, Star Wars Day, I have a Star Wars question. So I'm a classic Star Wars guy. I'm a first trilogy. That's my Star Wars. I think I've seen all the movies at this point, but the new ones just didn't resonate with me. Again, not my generation. Overall, you take it from New Hope all the way to that last sucky one. Is Star Wars one of the greatest things of all time, or did they dilute it out to where it's like, eh, you know, we've had better miniseries than Star Wars?
I think the magic is gone for me personally. I'm sure, I know my friend Kevin disagrees, but I think that the quality...
Carl Middleman just pooped his pants somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he's very upset. The overarching quality, particularly in the Disney era... has been not. It's been a. It's been an outpouring of product at substandard quality.
Mm. I thought the Force Awakens was good.
Force Awakens is fine, and The Last Jedi I think is a fantastic movie. Rise of Skywalker may be the worst movie I've ever seen, and all the TV shows have sucked.
What's the one? The Attack of the Nerds or whatever? That one sucks.
Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that one's
awful. That one also sucks.
Was that from the like 20 years ago?
Yeah, that's from
those are bad.
You're old.
I'm with Andrew. And I never thought I would say that because I just loved Star Wars so much when I was younger. But now it's like new stuff comes out and people are like, are you going to watch it? And I'm like, no, I just, it doesn't look interesting to me.
There's a winemaker named Warren Swift, and he is famous for doing this. He made one of my favorite wines of all time called Prisoner and sold it for, I think, $100 million. And it used to be, I'll get this wrong, but it used to be a very small number of cases. And it was just great. And they bought the recipe and they multiplied it by 50 times. And now Prisoner's better than your average wine, but it's just so watered down from what it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. And that's how I think about Star Wars. And any number of franchises that have done the same thing.
Kevin disagrees.
I disagree on this because if the original trilogy came out now, it would get trashed. If it came out now with modern actors and modern technology, it would get trashed because the story's not that great. Because there are a lot of conflicting things, a lot of weird things that don't make sense until you see the rest of them, but it's now a part of lore, so we loved it when we were kids, and we love that more now. And anything that follows is less than that.
See, I think it'd be.
This happens in sports all the time. It's like we glorify the 1950s and 60s because that's when all the sports writers were growing up. But they were jerks back then, too. They were no different than the guys now, no better than the guys right now.
Is your argument Star Wars sucks and has always sucked?
No, I'm saying that we...
Those original movies, the good ones, they suck.
My argument is that we are idiots and we don't realize that as adults, we don't think the same things are cool as we do when we're kids. And then we blame the franchises because it's not what it used to be to us when we were children.
I don't...
Because kids watching these now have the same reaction that we did when we were kids back then.
I'll give you $20 to crack another egg on Amy's head.
I'll do it on Andrew's head. Let's go.